Podcast is made possible in part by a grant from Horene's Pianos Plus, your Steinway piano showroom in Bloomington. Horene's Pianos Plus offers new and pre-owned pianos by Steinway & Sons, Boston by Steinway, and other fine pianos.
Today's programming is made possible in part by grants from 10,000 Villages in downtown Champaign and Crossroads Global Handcrafts, 428 North Main in Bloomington, offering ground and whole bean coffee purchased from farmers using internationally recognized fair trade standards.
Support for today's broadcast comes from the City of Urbana, presenting the local farmers market at the square every Saturday morning starting at 7 a.m. with homegrown produce, fresh flowers and plants, baked goods, food, and original works of art, located in the southeast lot of Lincoln Square, downtown Urbana. Information at 344-2444.
This is the Afternoon Magazine on WILL AM 580 and online at WILL.UIUC.edu. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. Thanks for tuning in this afternoon. Our topic today in this portion of the program, the movies, and it's my pleasure this afternoon to welcome back to the program Edwin Jael. Edwin is a film scholar and reviewer. He is a film critic at the Champaign News Gazette and contributor to U.S. and international film publications. He was a longtime professor of French, comparative literature, and cinema studies at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. In fact, he founded the Unit for Cinema Studies at the U of I in 1971. Edwin is a veteran of many of the world's great film festivals. A month ago, he was in France for the Cannes Film Festival. If I'm not mistaken, it was his 35th trip to Cannes. Listeners, I invite your questions about movies and about this year's offerings at Cannes for Edwin Jael. I also invite your suggestions for movies now playing in theaters and your suggestions for renting films. You can join us with a telephone call this afternoon. The number in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Anywhere else, call toll-free 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. Welcome back. It's so good to see you.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad to be here. It's such a beautiful place. You know, you have the most beautiful building on campus. No question about it. You have a hell of a nice bunch of people working
yes.
here. So if people are listening to that, they should think that WL deserves some also financial help, because some weird, uncivilized people think that, well, anyway.
We got the message. We got the message, I think.
I hope everybody
you came through loud and clear there. Yeah, we do have a great staff, a lot of people that people listening never hear on the radio.
The place is beautiful. It makes me feel great when I come in. First of all, it's very quiet. It's cool. It's full of fantastic machinery and amazing people. And it's gorgeous. This is the most beautiful building on campus that I know of. I don't know that there's anything as sexy as modern without being annoying.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, because I haven't been to many of the buildings on campus. But...
Well, you can guess.
Yeah.
No, knock on wood. Let's hope that one of these days there'll be another building here. And the people who will build it, they should man the stuff, are the people in Washington and elsewhere who think that public radio is not good enough or something. So you should give them a hammer and nails and other stuff and have them build things.
Hmm. Well, am I right? Was this your 35th trip to Cannes?
Well, easily, yeah.
1960, right?
I've lost track. The first time I went to Cannes was when I had my first sabbatical, which was, I came here in 1954, plus 5, 6, 1960. Early 60s. Is that what you figure?
Yeah, I figure 1960. That's what I recall.
Yeah.
So last month's festival.
Excuse me?
Last month's festival. Why don't you put your headphones on there, Edwin? And
what?
Put your headphones on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I should.
That's good. Yeah. And while you're doing that, let me invite folks to give us a call this afternoon. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455. 333-WILL, 800-222-WILL. Our topic this afternoon, the movies, and our guest this afternoon, Edwin Jayal. Is that better?
Beautiful.
Can you hear me better? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I'm soft-spoken, and I'm lucky I'm in a business. I have a microphone. So, okay. Well, last month's festival, what at Cannes, what stands out, thinking back to a month ago?
Well, on my way here from home, I was trying to figure this one out. And one thing that stands out, but very few people saw or hardly been written about, is Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. Have you heard of it?
No.
No, even deaf people. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. Let me see if I have some. Anyway, it's a very amusing, semi-incomprehensible film, which is like a satire of film noir or gangster films or action films of that kind mm-hmm. that take place in Los Angeles. And Downey Jr. is the main actor. Downey, I say Jr. because his father was a famous man. And you know that Downey had a lot of trouble with drugs and this and that. You would never think of that. He was so good. He was so full of life. It's a story. Well, the title Kiss Kiss Bang Bang is really stolen or taken from a book by Pauline Kael. Pauline Kael was a great, great late film critic. And she wrote several books about film with wonderful titles. Like the first one was I Lost It at the Movies. In other words, she lost her innocence at the movies. Mm-hmm. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang summarizes films. And that is the title they use for a movie. However, the movie has nothing to do with the book. And I hope nobody will ask me what it is about because it's the first time I've seen a film in a long time that I couldn't, had no idea what was going on and was enjoying it. It's funny. Hmm. It's funny. It's witty. Anyway.
Well, look for it then.
If it ever makes it.
Kiss Me, Bang Bang. Bang Bang. Okay. Well, we've got a listener waiting to talk with us. Let's go and talk with the caller on a car phone in Urbana, line one. Hi.
Hello,
hello there.
Edwin. Can you hear me?
Very clearly.
Oh, good. This is your old friend, Greg Springer.
And, Greg, you have a phone now.
Well, I finally broke down and bought a phone, right?
Oh, okay.
No, I'm just calling to say I always enjoy hearing you speak and still reading your reviews. And, you know, for several years I went with you to the Cannes Film Festival.
That's right.
And it's been some time since I've gone. In fact, this is the reason I'm calling, I guess, is that I'm in a continuing argument with several of my friends about the necessity of going to film festivals or even going to the movies at all these days.
Yes, because you can do it at home.
Everything is available at home, and you can have much more comfortable viewing conditions. And back when I did go to film festivals and was going to film festivals, it was because many times there would be no chance to see those movies
That's right.
Any other place.
Absolutely.
Nowadays, you can not only get the movies soon after they've been released, but you also get running commentaries and virtually film history right there on the yeah. disc itself.
Yeah.
And I'd particularly like to hear you talk about the film that won at Cannes this year, the by, I believe, their Belgian brothers.
Yes,
Who had done other films, Rosetta and The Sun. The Sun has turned out to be one of my favorite films ever, I think, and I'd like to hear what you have to say about
The Child.
The Child, new film.
Yeah,
and,
it's very good. Well,
I'll hang up.
Don't hang up. Don't hang up. I'd like to talk to you. I haven't seen you in ages. We used to be together. Okay, one thing is this, that I want to go into The Child because if people have seen films by the Dardenne brothers, they get a general idea of what they're like. They're very intimate, very detailed, very personal without being... yum-yum good, that sort of thing. The film is good. All their films are good. And, you know, they make all those, or most of those films, because most of their work has, all of their work has been social, political, and so on.
Yes.
And they make them in a small town, which is their native town, whose name I forget, someplace in Belgium. And they don't want to go down to the big city. It's a good film. I'm glad it got that prize. And that's the second time they get the grand prize, the gold at Cannes. So,
I'm glad to hear that, and I'm looking forward very much to seeing it.
Yeah, but that's the whole point. You mentioned how we get films on DVD and that sort of thing. But where are those titles? My source for, by far, for everything, and this is a plug for it, in fact, is Facets Multimedia in Chicago. I've been cleaning out, familiar thing to you, books and papers, including student papers and so forth, for 2 years now. I haven't even scratched the surface. And the amount of catalogs that I had from Facets, the stuff that they send you, they would take a room just by itself. And they have, and I marvel at the titles they have that sometimes nobody has heard of or someone has heard of them, but where the heck are they? So they're the one exception to the rule that I know. There may be others, I wish there were, but I doubt it. But Facets in Chicago is really my my mecca. I hope nobody will get mad at that. And who's going to bring the Dardenne? Big question. I have no idea. A lot of those films that we see at Cannes disappear here, even prize winners.
Hmm. No. Greg, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you, where do you come down on this matter of going out to see a movie in a theater versus staying home?
Well, of course, I'm still waiting to buy my big screen projection TV, I guess. But I do think that eventually I'll be much happier watching at home than going through the effort of going out. So many times in the theater, there's a problem with projection, with starting times, with advertisements, and with the sheer cost that it's... I prefer to watch at home. You can take more time. You can pause and rewind if you need to. And I've just found that watching movies at home is the better deal.
Hmm.
And I wanted to say, too, that Netflix
has a
really good collection.
That's very good. Yeah, my son, who lives out west, uses that. I have... Actually, you won't believe that, Greg, but I have never rented a film in any shape in my entire life.
That's kind of amazing.
It is true.
But
look, I pay quite a bit for cable TV, and I keep discovering that the Turner Classic Movies, TCM, is really an extremely good source. of course, you have to be free at the time they're showing the film. But they're marvelous. They show things that are highly civilized, very some things that are very in, others that are very popular, but they're damn good. Who else does that? Oh, and then there's the Sundance Channel. The Sundance Channel is a marvel. So you can see how I've survived without. Of course, I'm not saying that I don't have anything, because people send me, friends send me things, you know, a gift of a video, which I welcome.
Can I just say one more thing, too?
Shoot.
A lot of European and Asian films are often available in town locally at Vats for Entertainment. And not only, you often don't have to wait. If you have a PAL system DVD player, they buy the PAL DVDs. Yeah. So sometimes there will be movies that have not yet been released in the United States that you can actually rent and see.
I'm delighted you said that, because I forgot to do that. I also like to plug... honestly plug Vats for Entertainment, which is an incredible outfit, which you don't find its equivalent in cities much larger than the Twin Cities here. The other day, I contacted a colleague of mine who is in the German department and teaches Bergman and, among other things, Swedish stuff, Swedish film. And I said, I saw two or three, one after the other, early films with Ingrid Bergman, films that were made in Sweden, and I just had heard of the titles.
Uh-huh.
And she answered to me, says, you know, Vats for Entertainment has all of her films, including the Swedish films. So
it is a great resource.
Yeah.
I have to go, but I guess I do want to say, too, that I sort of... revisiting a lot of film history with the new Criterion Collection releases of a number of films.
Right.
So that lately I've been going back through all of the early Antonioni and Fellini films. A lot of them have excellent commentaries, that it's almost like taking your class, Edwin, like taking a film class. It's wonderful. I enjoy talking to you, but
okay.
I do have to go now. I'll keep
Thank you, and I hope that a lot of people listen to you, because you are such an full of major and sensible information. Bless you and your family. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
Thanks for the call. Let's talk with another listener. Caller in Champaign-Urbana on line 2. Hi.
Hi. Interesting comment, please, on film noir. Why can't we get witty films like The Front Page? And also maybe on remake. Shouldn't the remake be pretty close to the original? Isn't there some standard like that? But in regard to the last call, it was interesting to go to an international film showing on campus and listen to the audience chant the lines. That was part of the fun that you don't get if you rent. But just appreciate some comments on, like, The Front Page or films of the 40s. They had witty dialogues, and now so many of them have computerized special effects.
But you know, the dialogues that go with those special effects, I hate to sound, how shall I put it, old-fashioned, but the dialogues of the 20s, late 20s anyway, 30s, I mean, and 40s, and even some of the early 50s, can be incomparable. Nobody writes them anymore the way they used to. You mentioned a couple of films there that are marvels of dialogue.
Yes, wonderful.
Well, what can we do? Remember that the client has absolutely no leverage with Hollywood.
Yes, too bad. Could you comment on Diva, D-I-V-A? We'll listen off air, but, like, was that a real opera singer? Diva was a French film.
Yeah.
And just wondering if that was all part of a story, or they used a real opera singer. Thanks. We'll listen.
That black lady, right? Oh. Yeah. She's, I forget her name. Very no, a real opera singer. No question about it. Yes. They didn't have a substitute. That was a good question there. I had forgotten about Divent, a very good film.
Now, when is that film? When was that film made?
Don't ask me, I'm lousy with dates, but about...
Relatively.
20 years ago, almost 15 to 20 years ago.
Okay. Well, I imagine people are listening this afternoon, and they've got a pen and a piece of paper handy, and so we've already got a couple of suggestions here. Diva, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, If It Gets Here, that was it from Cannes, and the Dardenne brothers, We Can't See the Child Yet, which won the Palme d'Or, but we can go look for the sun.
Yes, yes. I mean, if you want recommendations, which will be useless, I think, for the simple reason that... okay, here I have a short list, excuse me, of films that I saw. It's not my whole list, but it's the press, what they give to the... by the way, it's deadly at Cannes because they start their films at 8:30 in the morning. You have to get there by 8 to find a seat. To get there by 8, you have to get up very early, which is fine. I get up at 5 or 6 sometimes in Champaign-Urbana. Mm-hmm. However, the night before, you've been watching films, unless you were carousing and drinking someplace, and you just have gotten about 4 or 5 hours sleep. So the morning films are murderous. This year, I really cheated. I skipped. Opening film, Lemming, L-E-M-M-I-N-G. I can't go into the details of that. It's a film by the same relatively young new French filmmaker who did a movie called With a Friend Like So-and-So, I forget, With a Friend Like Who Needs an Enemy, in other words. Mm. Very ironical, and a film that when it opened, I thought, my God, that's one of the best opening films that I've seen. Well, it was for the first half. Then it got to be a bit too obscure and... But still, it's worth, it's very much worth having. Let me see. Oh, gosh, there's so many. Stand Up and Walk by Mr. S. Pierre Yamego. He is an African director, and he did a wonderful thing of... In a movie in which something goes wrong in a certain village, and some lady is supposed to have brought bad luck, and she fixes that. But it's from Central Africa, where there's quite a bit of active filmmaking. I shouldn't waste time like that.
Did you happen to see Joyeux Noël, Merry Christmas?
Merry Christmas. No, but I have information. I'm going to see it when it comes. It was received as a good, quote-unquote, commercial film. But then when people say commercial or non-commercial, watch out, because it's everything to everybody and nothing at the same time. And it's about the first year of the First World War, where people have been fighting only for 1 year, the Germans against the French at that time, and Christmas comes, and there is a kind of exchange of gifts and so forth, very hopeful, but of course, you know, this didn't last forever. And I'm very curious to see this thing. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I skipped it, it's because I went to see something more obscure that would not make
right.
it. I hope it makes it here. It's got excellent reviews, and people don't have to be snobbish about that. The Germans and the French soldier are carousing together because it's Christmas. That's impossible. No, it's not impossible. They did it. It
happened.
Yeah, that's a good title.
Yeah.
What other title?
What other title? One of the films that I would like to see... And I think it will see this. We will see this because I do believe it will open outside of New York City next month. And it was one of the winners for Best First Feature. me and you and everyone we know?
As a matter of fact, I think that this movie was shown at the Ebert Gizmo thing,
okay.
Festival last time. I wasn't able to go.
Yeah, I wasn't able to go either.
I think some people may have seen it in town.
Oh, okay. Miranda July, the director of that film. So that one is coming, definitely. And again, I don't know much about it, but it struck me as that would be something to keep an eye out for. Another film that I think we will see, because it stars Tommy Lee Jones, and I believe he was the director, mm-hmm. The Three Burials of Melquiades Estrada.
And he got a prize.
Yes.
Best actor.
Best actor.
That's, I mean, Tommy Lee Jones, you don't imagine somehow as a thespian. Interesting film, well done. Definitely, we're going to see it here, definitely. So don't worry.
Okay, all right. And then the other thing I wanted to ask you about was an Israeli film called Free Zone, and the actress that won Best Actress at Cannes this year, an Israeli actress who I've only read about this, but it sounds like that she just did an outstanding job, and also there are some Palestinian actors and actresses that did outstanding work. Natalie Portman is in the film. Maybe we'll see this one, Free Zone.
I hope so. It is what you might, I don't know what to call it, a reconciliation film, perhaps.
Okay.
And people can use that because, you know, this it might come here in small towns, well, medium towns, because of the influence of the Jews and the Arabs and the Palestinians finally talking to each other, knock on wood.
Yeah, so that's another one to keep an eye out for. Do you know anything about Hannah Laszlo?
Nobody knows anything
about
her. I saw her getting the prize there. She's a rotund. She's not a chick. She's a woman.
She's a mature woman.
A mature woman. And she spoke very nicely. But I have no idea.
Yeah. Speaking of mature folks, Broken Flowers is a film about a man, if I'm correct, looking back on his life. Yes?
Yeah, Broken Flowers.
That won the Grand Prix.
Yes, and it was really worth it. Let me see here. I have a guide here. Okay, hold it.
Okay. While you look it up, I'm going to reintroduce
you.
Oh,
come
on.
I'm not worth reintroducing.
Edwin Jael is my guest this afternoon here on The Afternoon Magazine. He's a film scholar and film reviewer. He's a film critic at the Champaign News Gazette, and he contributes articles to publications in the U.S. and abroad. He was a longtime professor of French comparative literature and cinema studies at the University of Illinois, and he founded the Unit for Cinema Studies at the U of I in 1971. He's a veteran of Cannes, the Cannes Film Festival. He was there last month, and if we're not mistaken, it was his 35th trip.
Yes, and there may not be a 36th trip, because I'll tell you something about Cannes, the negative part.
Yeah.
It is more and more expensive. That's why some smaller publications don't send people anymore. That's why I'm not paid by anybody for that kind.
Right.
It's from my own pocket, my own savings. But the euro, which is a four-letter word for me right now, starting 2-3 years ago. When the euro started 5 years ago, you gave them a dollar, and they gave you a 1.4 euros. By now, it's the opposite.
Yeah.
The dollar is weak. The euro is strong. Prices are going. This year, before we went to Cannes, got an announcement about information about Cannes. Say, the good news is that the hotels have agreed to keep to their last year's prices and not go up. Yes, but what hotels? The hotels that where you get a room for $500 or $600 a day, it's going to stay the same, but not the hotel for $50, well, if you can find one. So, in fact, everything goes up in price. A few years ago, a friend of mine from Facets Multimedia and I got a day before the festival began. So we went and had a pizza in a pizzeria next to where we were. A few days later, we went back to the same place. And I told the waiter, hey, your prices have gone up already in 3 days. He says, oh, no, monsieur, no, no, we haven't. I said, wait a minute. So I pulled out some pictures that I had taken the first of the menu 3 days before.
Let's talk with a listener, and then we'll talk about broken flowers. Yeah. We've got a caller in Urbana on line one waiting to talk with us. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My treat to myself is to go to Ebertfest, and there are a couple of movies there that are going to be coming out in addition to Me and You and Everyone We Know that I really enjoyed. I did think Me and You and Everyone We Know is certainly a quirky, interesting movie. It certainly kept my interest. It's not for everybody, but I thought it was really really creative and fun to watch. And
you think it's going to come here?
Who knows? Oh, at the Art Theater might get it, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
But there were two movies that had everybody talking among the people I was standing in line with anyway. One was Murderball, which is a documentary it doesn't flow like a documentary. It is about quadriplegic rugby on the national team level.
Right.
And I thought to myself, quadriplegic rugby, this seems like an oxymoron. Mm-hmm. But I learned, and they explain in the movie very creatively and clearly, that it has to do with their varying levels of ability and
yeah, I think it's had a prize or two.
Well, movie. It was just amazing, and it really is quite an eye-opener, and it's no holds barred. It's played in wheelchairs, and the wheelchairs are armored, and the idea is to knock the other person over. And the people are living their lives quite full throttle. It is very frank. Sexuality is discussed. The players are not totally clean-mouthed, so people who are bothered by that sort of thing would not like this movie. But everybody in the line just said, wow.
Good.
This movie was just phenomenal, and it's supposedly coming out this summer. And it's about the rivalry between two teams and what's considered by some members of the U.S. Quad rugby teams to be considered a betrayal by a former member who goes to Canada to coach their national team. And it follows their lives. It's really quite amazing. The other one that had a lot of talk in the lines was Yesterday, which is the first international movie done totally in Zulu, and by a total South African team. And it, too, was just amazing. And the soundtrack is done by one person. And I was just blown away by the creativity of the sounds and the soundtrack. And you can't always tell that it's a person making the sounds. And this person is doing it sometimes with his mouth and sometimes with added things. And if anybody wants to have a clearer picture of what it is, what the AIDS epidemic means to individuals, especially in a country like South Africa where the men live apart, usually from their wives, because that's where you can get work. The whole idea that we can piously stand here and say, well, you have to be totally abstinent. The women are suffering because of the lack of understanding about AIDS and our refusal of certain groups to be more frank about it. But the movie and the depiction of people's lives was just amazing. It was great to see it on a big screen. And unlike Jeff Springer, I really like to see things on a big screen, and I like to see them with other people.
Yeah, especially in a setting like Ebertfest, or at a setting like when you're in the Virginia Theater and people are there. They've made a real effort to get there, and they are cinephiles.
Yes, and I also like going to, we're lucky to have the Art Theater, and the Art Theater in town has an email list and a website. So once a week I get an email reminding me of what the week movie is, and with links to the websites for the movie or explanations of what the movie's about, so I can decide whether it's something I'm interested in seeing. And they're often movies I have not heard of, and I'm not always interested in what's playing, but I find myself going to see movies much more regularly. And
good.
I urge people who are within driving distance to get sign up for the email and learn about some movies that you might find interesting that you wouldn't see otherwise. So.
Well, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455. And the folks there at the New Art Theater, Boardman's New Art Theater, they make it a very enjoyable experience.
Good.
Yeah. And have you seen, I haven't seen this, this is now playing there, I believe, Mad Hot Ballroom. Have you seen that yet?
No, I know about that film.
It's okay.
It's an okay film. Yeah, okay. It's about kids. By the way, I'm looking to see who else was in the Broken Flowers, because it was really quite a lovely cast. The man there was Bill Murray, and Bill Murray is Bill Murray. He's amazing. And Sharon Stone was one of them. Jessica Lange. The French Julie Delpy, Tilda Swinton. They really had a kind of who's who in little cameos, because, you know, the man has had all those girlfriends, and then he's retired, and he seems to be living altogether by himself with his television and his drinks or whatnot. And he is told that he has a son someplace. Have you seen that? It's really worth watching. It's very humorous without being yucky.
Yeah. Not maudlin, which Bill Murray, I'm a fan of Bill Murray. We saw recently, my husband and I, The Life Aquatic.
Yes.
I really enjoyed that.
Yes, I think they lost money on that one. But by the way, this film was made by Jim Jarmusch. And Jim Jarmusch is really a maverick in the best sense filmmaker. You know, people say, what do you mean by a maverick? I mean, someone who does things well, but in a different way. And he opens doors for people. And that film, that particular Broken Flowers, is also worth seeing by Jim Jarmuschians, because you have to figure out how much of the typical Jarmusch is there. It's hard to explain, but it's unusual even for Jarmusch. It's a great pleasure. I don't know if it's going to get any great prizes, but anyway.
Well, we'll keep our eye out for that one. Another film I wanted to ask you about was a film that won a prize, and I don't speak French, so I'll give it a try here. The Prix de la Mise en Scène.
Mise en scène, literally, it's to put on the screen or on the stage, a theater term that now is used also by the movies. It means direction, simply.
Oh, okay. So, best director. Ha-ha. Okay, and the director that won the prize is a German gentleman, and the film was... The translation is hidden. That's what the English translation.
Caché. He was born in Germany. He lives and is a citizen of Austria. And he's a power. He makes not terribly many films, but enough, and very good ones, and serious films. And he likes to use French actors. This film that you just mentioned was one of the top candidates for the best festival film, for the Golden whatever. It's worth, definitely worth seeing. It's hard. Don't ask me what it's about, because it's hard to explain. It's all the nuances and so forth. It's a very original thing. Absolute must.
Yeah.
Like all his films, he's very good. In fact, not only very good, but even damn good, which makes better than very.
He's also the director of The Piano Teacher.
He's all, yes.
Code Unknown and The Time of the Wolf.
Yes.
Michael Haneke. And I have a review here from the New York Times. And
by whom?
Manola?
Manola Dargis.
Dargis?
Yes, totally unreliable, yes.
Oh, okay.
No, that's okay. She was in Los Angeles until recently. She's still maybe in Los Angeles, but and she had quite a following there. I can't stand her writing, because I know that article.
I just wanted to mention that her prediction is here, and this was before this won the prize for Best Director.
That it would get the best.
Yeah, she said it's too early to tell if this film will make it to American art houses. Now, with the prize, I would imagine the chances...
It bloody well better make it to America.
Right.
Otherwise, we'll have a revolution.
Yeah. But she says, she describes it this way, willfully unglamorous.
Yeah.
And it plays out in the field of memory and the culture of fear.
Which is a little bit vague, but yeah. Anyway, it's about someone who has a television program on books, which already makes it a bit alien. He starts receiving some videos and messages from a mysterious person. And the way it is made, it upsets him for good reasons. But let's not go into the plot there. Yeah, that film, until practically... The day where they declared what the winners were was neck and neck, or neck to neck, or whatever it is, you know, like racing horses, and very close to getting the top prize. Some people swore that it would.
Wow.
So, obviously, yeah.
Yeah. One of the things I read about the festival, too... somewhere, I don't remember where it was, but that there were a number of films this year at Cannes that indicated that the European film industry is doing well, that it's being revitalized. What's your opinion?
I don't know. I haven't thought about that, because the one that is being revitalized or being born like mad is the South Korean. The South Koreans are producing films like mad, and very interesting ones. And there is one called, it'll come to me in a second, which kind of a gangster film that probably was the most violent film at Cannes. So violent that it stopped being violent, because it was an exaggeration. Very well done. The Koreans are coming up with very clever movies. There's one called about a 60-year-old man who has a boat where he gets people from the land to rent a space, and then they go fishing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's 60, and there's a 16-year-old or so girl that he has adopted that stays there. And he falls in love with her, and he marries her. Anyway, it wasn't terribly successful. Well, when I say it wasn't successful, it's not that you rush to see newspapers because nothing is written right away, but the audience was not... You know, saying great, when they, but I found it very clever. And anyway, the South Koreans, Asia is someplace to watch. Not so much. China, Hong Kong, which can be the same thing or not be the same thing. Korea, South Korea. Hmm. North Korea doesn't exist when it comes to Khan. And it's amazing. But, you know, look at the cars they're making. I mean, it's... and they're selling very, very well. Yeah, this country is to keep your eye on. But as I said, that other film that I mentioned earlier was just as bloody. But then it gets to the point that torturing a man becomes ludicrous a little bit. Anyway, well acted, beautifully photographed. So Asia is watching us.
Mm. Well, are you going to go to the movies this weekend?
What is there to
I don't
to
know.
See?
Not much.
Well,
let me say that a listener has called in, and remember when we were talking about the diva?
Yeah.
The listener called in and said, could it be Jesse Norman, the singer and the diva?
No.
No. Okay.
Not to my, someone else, okay. But I forget her name. This week, it doesn't, the local theaters are especially the more commercial local theaters, are showing things that are not very interesting. I reviewed Mr. and Mrs. Smith, and I said it's bad. I reviewed Adventures of Shark Boy and Lava Girl, and I said it's terrible. The Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants is nice, but not great. The Longest Yard remake, I haven't seen it, but everybody agrees that it's a lousy remake, and so on and so forth. There's very little for true cinephiles.
Batman Begins is getting good reviews, so maybe I'll go see that.
Well, yeah, I'm in a mood to you know, I'm beginning to be very irritated by action movies. Because Hollywood is doing nothing but action movies, or mostly action movies, and they spoil the public in a certain sense, and you don't see think movies.
Well, we have to leave it there. We'll look for Broken Flowers. We'll look for Cachet. We'll look for some of the other things that you mentioned, Kiss Kiss, Bang Bang. We'll keep our eyes open for good movies. Edwin, thank you so much for
joining me
today.
What I'm going to do is one of these days sit down and make a list of recommendations and send it to you.
Very good, and we'll put it on the website. This is The Afternoon Magazine. I'm Celeste Quinner. Thanks once again this afternoon to Edwin Jayal.
My pleasure.
Let's find out what happened today on the Chicago Board of Trade. Here's Todd Gleason.
Thanks much, Celeste. On the Chicago Board of Trade today, futures rallying higher. Put your rally hats on. I was watching the boys play ball last night. They were down and turned her around. By putting those rally hats on, that's kind of what happened to the Chicago Board of Trade today after a down day yesterday. Futures coming back in a big way with the November contract up 20.25 cents in the nearby, in that new crop November soybeans. The nearby July up 18.75. We'll take a complete look at those numbers momentarily, but we'll start where we always do, in the July wheat pit for the Chicago Board of Trade. Soft red winter wheat today, a high of 340, the low at 335.5, and a settlement price there at $3.39.5. They were up 7.75 for the day. September futures, 8 cents higher, 350.25, the settlement price, the high at 351.5 and the low at 345.5. December futures, 363, the high, the low at 357.5. And the December wheat settled at $3.62.5. They were up 8.25 for the day. March contract now $3.74, the high, the low at 368.5. Settled $3.73.5 a bushel, 8 cents higher. The May futures up 9 for next year. This is the 2006 contract, $3.77 the high, and the settlement price, the low at $3.74 for that May 2006 soft red winter wheat contract at the Chicago Board of Trade. In the July corn for the day, the high at 233.5, the low at 229, settled 232.75. They were up 6.25. September's 242.75 high. Low at 239.25, settled 242, 6.25 higher, and the December futures were up 6 cents today. 253.25 high, low at 250, settled 252.75 up 6 for the Dease corn. March futures 260 the high, the low at $2.57, settled 259.5 up 5.5 in the May contract. 261.5. The high, the low at 259.25. Settled 261, up 4.75. July futures in the corn pit, 263. The high, the low at 61.5. And a settlement price at $2.63 a bushel for July next year's corn, up 4.5 for the day. July oats, 155.25. Settlement price up 3.25. The high at 55.5. The low at 53.75. They were up 3.25. September futures were up 3 cents in the oat pit at 160.75. July soybeans, 7.46 the high. The low at $7.37. Settled 7.44.5, up 18.75 today. August futures, 7.49 the high. The low at 7.39. Settlement price at 7.48.25. Up 17.75 for the day. And September futures posting the biggest gain on the day, 7.57 the high. The low at 46, settlement price at $7.56 a bushel, up 21.5. November contract, your new crop, 766.5 the high, the low at 755. Settled 765.75 for the new November beans, up 20.25, and the January's were up 20 cents today. 769 the high, the low at 61 even, the settlement price for the Jans at 768.5. March futures, a 760 high, low at 754. Settlement price there at 759, they were 15.5 cents higher. July bean meal, 232.50 the high, the low at 230.10. Settled 231.20, up 280. August meal, 340 higher at 233 even on their settlement price. July bean oil, 26.18 the high, the low at 25.50. Settlement price at 26.15, they were up 91. And the August contract, 86 higher at 26.18. Now here's Celeste with the numbers from the Mercantile Exchange.
Okay, August feeder cattle, the high 109.20, the low 108.40, the settlement 108.45, down 45. September, 108.25, the high 107.45, the low 107.77.5, the settlement, that down 32.5. October, 107.10, the high 106.40, the low, the settlement 106.70, down 35. June live cattle 82.47.5, the high 81.97.5, the low, the settlement 82.17.5, that up 7.5. August live cattle 80.37.5, the high, the low 79.77.5, the settlement 79.87.5, that down 10. July lean hogs, the high today 66.65, the low 65.40, the settlement 65.65, that down $1. August 65.30, the high 64.30, the low 64.55, the settlement, that down 65. October 55.25, the high 53.60, the low 53.92.5, the settlement, that down 115. December 53.35, the high 52.15, the low 52.20, the settlement, that down 110. July bellies 62.30, the high 59.45, the low 60 even, the settlement, that down 232.5. The Dow is off 109 points, the NASDAQ down 15, the S&P 500 off 7.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is